My name's Todd. Live in Leicester. My wife Sarah. My three girls are here, and Caleb. So thanks for the invite to come. I like this small crowd. I'm used to more small groups, so I like this feeling a little better than talking to a whole bunch of people. So I'm going to ask for a little participation just to get going a little bit. So this is Jesus talking in Mark 4, and he highlights one maybe unspoken, but kind of highlights four fields, four areas that a farmer, four phases of fields. Can you guys identify some of those? Throw out one of these fields. Help identify those that the scripture talked through. Or the four phases of farming.
Preparation.
So planting, sowing seed. So the planting of the seed. So that's the kind of that picture in number two there.
Preparing the soil.
Preparing the soil. So that would kind of be, that's kind of what I'm calling number one there, is an empty field. So you do some prep in an empty field. So number one's an empty field. Number two is sowing seed. What else did you hear in that scripture? Yeah, so the seed grows. There's some growth. And then what's the last one? The harvest. So the pictures kind of helped you guys cheat there, so that's a little unfair. But so you guys have been doing a series on discipleship, I understand. What I've learned on discipleship is it's really a discipleship in itself is it's a pretty simple idea, right? Sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus, trying to bring others to him. So it's a pretty simple idea, but it's not very easy, right? It's simple, but it's not easy. There's fears. What if this person rejects me? What if I say something that they make fun of me for? I don't know who to talk to. All kinds of things that make it not very easy to do. But it really is quite simple. And that's why this passage in Mark stands out to me, why I really appreciate it. I'll back up one more time. So a lot of people here have wrestled, played football, basketball, whatever it is. I have a lot of respect for head coaches. The more I spend time around coaches, they know where they want to get the team. And every practice, or even off-season, they have a plan set up so they know what little steps to do, what drill to do in practice, so that by week four of the football season, they want the team to be a certain place. So I have a respect for people that can think through that that plan. I'm more of a show me where to go, and I'll figure out how to get there, or I'll tell me what to do, and I'll do it. I'll get it done. I need a lawn mowed. I can go and get it figured out. I'll get it done. I'm a doer. I'm not that planner, so I have a lot of respect for that. But Jesus gives us a plan here. He uses the idea of a farmer. So the farmer enters an empty field. So that's that number one. Then he sows the seed generously. And then whether he's awake or whether he is asleep, the seed grows, though he doesn't even know how. And then once it's ripe, immediately he harvests it. So comparing this to discipleship, putting this as a plan for discipleship, an empty field. So it's kind of an entry strategy. Who do you talk to? Where do you go where you're around people that are far from God? Maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's your gym, maybe it's teammates on your football team, maybe it's classmates in school, coworkers. So that's an entry strategy in looking at that from a discipleship standpoint. So that's number one, the entry strategy. Number two is the seeded field. So sowing seed, a good farmer, would they just randomly plant one seed and then you know, in the olden days, walk 20 feet and plant one seed, and then, you know, kind of sporadically just put one seed here or there? Or would it be more beneficial to, you know, get some serious, like, sow generously, right? You want to be planting seeds. Not that you're sharing the full gospel in every opportunity you get, but the way you live your life, people can witness that. There's something different about you. What will you say when you have the chance to share the gospel, to share your testimony? Have you practiced that? So the seeded field is the gospel strategy. What will you say? Understanding your testimony, being able to share that in a genuine, non-threatening way, and then being able to share the gospel in a biblical, simple way to tell what Jesus means to you, how he impacted you, how your life has changed from before you knew the Lord, your encounter with the Lord, and then now how your life has changed after. Number three, the growing field. So this one's very interesting. Jana talked about it. AJ, you talked about it. Just the idea that this seed grows and sprouts, though we don't even know how. To me, this is the coolest part, because in discipleship, we're called to this simple idea of obeying. We're called to simply obey. We're called to go make disciples. We're called to find people that are far from God. We're called to share the gospel. But who produces the fruit? Is that up to me? So we're called to simple obedience, but the outcomes are, God says, don't worry about that. I got that. I have the outcomes. That's not something that you have to be worried about. The pressure's not on you. So on the other hand, or same kind of thing, you know, when you do plant seeds, the seed sprouts and grows without you really knowing how. You know, if you try to rush that or speed it up and you dig it up to see if the roots grow on, is that going to help? You know, that's not going to help anything. But there are some things you can do. You can water it. You can make sure it gets water. You can make sure it gets sunlight. You can pull the weeds around it to make sure it's getting the right amount of nutrients. So there are some things. So three there, that growing field, to me, that's kind of a discipleship strategy. A lot of people are involved in Bible studies, small groups, prayer groups. So an idea to think about here is, are your Bible study groups built for just feeding yourself, or do you have an outreach component of your discipleship group? Are you, what if you added a little piece of accountability in your Bible studies where at the beginning of every meeting you met and asked, you know, who were you able to share a story with this week? Who's on your heart to pray for this week? At the end of the Bible study, you know, what if you all wrote down a name? Maybe you read Mark 4 and something stood out to you. At the end of that Bible study, just jot a name down. Hey, this made me think of my friend Dave. I'm going to share this with him this week. And then the first time next week when you meet in your Bible study, your discipleship group, first question, hey, how'd it go with your conversation with Dave? How can we be praying for him? So adding a piece of accountability so that it's this outreach component is built into it. And then the fourth step, this harvest field, our fourth phase, is this gathering of people. So gathering of people that are know the Lord, they're ready, they're ripe. What does God, you know, he talks, the farmer takes a sickle to it, gathers it. And what do you do with the crop? I'm asking you guys, what do you do after you harvest? What's the point of harvest?
Ship it to China.
So you sell some. Yep, you sell it. What else do you do? Even like maybe back in Jesus' day. So they would sell some. What else would they do with it?
Store
some. They would eat some. What's that?
Share it.
Yeah, share some. What else would they do? What's that? Sorry?
Replant.
Replant it. So what would happen if you sold everything, ate everything, your life as a farmer? If you got rid of everything, what would next crop look like? You'd have nothing left to plant, right? So this idea of multiplication, they would take some of this harvest, keep that some of the seed to replant. So this isn't just a four-phase thing that's just one and done. It's a multiplication. And that's what I think Jesus is trying to talk through here is, and it's not just here. He talks about this in many other places in the Gospels, but being part of a church, being part of friends, Bible studies, prayer groups, where your goal is this multiplication idea. Replanting the seed, building up leaders that are, when you do bring somebody to the Lord or a new Christian, how can you multiply them, get them trained up and discipled in a way that they can impact others? So I work for a ministry called Primary, and a lot of what we do is we go into churches, small groups, go on campuses, do a lot of different things, and highlighting these four fields, even this, in my mind, again, tell me something specific to do and I'll go do it. That's how my mind works. This is still pretty high-level stuff. I just want to take down one example of giving you guys a little homework to really try and put this into motion. Again, very simple plan, simple idea. Discipleship is a simple thing, but not easy to do. When I write something down or when I make a note in my head, that's what gets me to follow through on it. So we're just going to jump into this number one. So people, places, people groups, where are you in your life? Where has God put you? Because he's put you there for a reason. Where you're around people that might be far from God. So just think through that for a minute. Maybe a name or two comes to mind. Maybe it's a place. And I challenge you to just, if you have a pen, write down a name. Write down the place that God's highlighted to you. If you can't think of one, your church is involved in a lot that, Awana, Bread of Life. There's lots of things you guys are involved in that get yourself involved in some of these. I'm sure you've heard this line before, but, you could have the brightest flashlight in the world, and if you go out in the middle of a sunny day, how noticeable is that flashlight? Not very noticeable, right? So if we could be the strongest Christians on the face of the earth, but if we're only around people that are like us, we're not going to multiply very fast, right? So where are places? Again, I challenge you to write something down, either a name of a specific person or two, a place, people, a group of people. Jot those down. And sometime during this week, just be praying for them. Pray for them. Think about, ask God to open some doors and opportunity to even, maybe you don't get a chance to share the gospel the very first time you interact with them. That's okay. But maybe you can share a little history of yourself, share a little glimpse of your testimony. So ask for God to open those doors. So pretty simple. That was my message this morning. Just wanted to walk through that Mark 4 and try to get this idea of discipleship is a pretty simple thing, but not always easy to do unless if you can add, you can kind of see this picture that Jesus paints of these different fields. And start praying for people that God has placed in your life that might be far from God. Can I pray for you guys? God, thank you for this church. Thank you for the hearts. There are many hearts in here that are for they have hearts for you and your kingdom, and God, you've given them hearts for outreach. God, I pray that you give them words to say, that you give them a clear and concise and biblical way to share about you that's non-threatening, that is genuinely caring about others. And God, I pray for these names that you've highlighted into their minds. God, we pray for open doors, that you give us ways and opportunities to share about how you've impacted us and how you've impacted the world, and just the good news that Jesus Christ has come to save us and restore us into a right relationship with you, God. And for those that maybe haven't thought of a name or that hasn't been revealed, God, I pray that you just help them to see the world in a way that that you see it, that we can see the hurt, we can see the dark places, we can see opportunities to spend more time around people that might be far from you, so that we can help do what you've called us to do, and that's just to be obedient to your commands, obedient to your call, to reach others, to love on others, and yeah, as we've already talked about, God, we pray for the Holy Spirit to do the mighty work, to take care of the outcomes. Just help us to have hearts of simple obedience. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.